This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Well, good morning. This is the Democrat press conference for the week. I'm Representative Julie Bartling, District 21. I live in the Gregory area. I represent Gregory Tripp, Charles Mixon, a little bit of Bonhomme County. And I'll let my two colleagues introduce themselves real quickly, and then we'll get started.
Okay. I'm Representative Paula Hawks, District 9. I live in Hartford. I represent Hartford, Humboldt, Crooks, and the northwest corner of Sioux Falls.
Good morning. I'm Senator Angie Buell O'Donnell from District 15 in Central Sioux Falls.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today. As the Democrat the women in the Democrat caucus, there are only four of us. So we have some, you know, important things that we would like to talk about, the issues that are important to us and to all of those who we represent across the state. As you know, the issues that are coming out that have gained, you know, the most knowledge and the most people viewing include education. And House Bill 1182, of course, has been on everybody's plate for the last basically all session. And we did get it off the House floor this week. And I believe, as the senator just said, it did pass out of Senate appropriations. So it's headed to the Senate floor. And as women in the legislature, you know, that's a very important piece of legislation for us. Education has always been at the top of our list on what we need to do as legislators to ensure viability in this state. There's nothing more important to the economic development of our state than the children of this state, starting from preschool all the way through post-secondary education. And so with the passage of 1182 and with the governor's being behind it, we believe that this is going to be a really great step for South Dakota. Getting our teachers out of last place in pay, which is where they have been for as many years as I can remember, but getting them the salary that's competitive so that we can retain them in our school districts to teach the children across the state, but also to recruit teachers to come into the school districts. Teachers are going to be beginning to retire, and we need to certainly have a pool of applicants to come and fill those very necessary positions in every district across the state. But as a rural legislator, we really feel it out in our part of the world, because you need to have amenities to, of course, entice folks to come to rural South Dakota. And pay, I do believe, is going to be a real asset when we attract young teachers to come and teach, bring their families with them, we hope, and keep our rural communities viable. So we're very pleased to see that bill pass. It was a struggle in the House, as you might remember, but it is very important that it is now out and on the Senate side for their actions. And we're very, very pleased that the governor is right behind it, that it's something we fought for years, and we're glad that he is on our side with it this time around, too. So that has always been a very important piece for us. So I'll let my colleagues talk about some other issues.
Okay. One of the issues that I have chosen to take on this year is equal pay for equal work for women. Obviously, it's a very important issue for women in South Dakota and all across the country. Currently, we sit at 76 cents for every dollar that a man earns. And so the resolution that I brought this year that passed, I think fairly close to unanimously, was a call for the state to enforce equal pay laws that already exist, making sure that we're telling women we value the work that they do and the contribution that they make to the economy of South Dakota. Women make up a huge portion of the workforce in South Dakota and everywhere else across the country, and it's time for us to live by what we say we live by and make sure that we're paying them equally for equal work. One of the other issues that I brought to conversation this year was workplace protections for pregnant women and new mothers. Unfortunately, that did not make it out of committee, but what it would have done was allow for some simple accommodations for pregnant women in the workplace, giving them a stool to sit on, allowing them to carry a water bottle around so that they could stay hydrated and stay at work. And unfortunately, like I said, that didn't make it out of committee, but we'll keep trying and working to protect women in the workplace.
You know, I think that For me, there's a couple of different ways I think about women's issues when we're working out in peer. I think one of them is the kind of traditional route. You think of the women, the issues that specifically affect women, many of which my colleagues have touched on, the wage gap, parental and maternity leave, reproductive health, child care, and domestic violence and sexual assault. And those are important. And I know that there are a number of bills that deal with court proceedings this year on domestic violence and sexual assault, protection orders, and things of that nature. But I am especially excited about one bill that Representative Gibson and I have sponsored that deals with disseminating images without clothing of people without their consent. It's known as revenge porn. It's an issue in states, and it's an issue for anyone with the internet. So I hope that that continues to be part of the conversation. Obviously, I don't think anyone really wants kind of pictures of that nature disseminated of them, but it's an issue that has predominantly affected women. But then I think there's also kind of the more integrated approach. I think that many of the huge issues we discuss have an outsized impact on women. When we're talking about education and Medicaid, we're talking about two fields that women predominantly are the ones that work there. You know, we know that women are the dominant members of the teaching workforce. We know that women are the dominant members of the nursing workforce and the direct care providers. And I very much appreciate the men that do that work too. But the reality is that most of them at the moment are women. And so when we're talking about those being the big issues, I think that's an important lens to look at. And it really does have an outsized impact. And then we also look at issues like student debt, for example. So at USD, at the moment, there's 61% of those students that are women. And we know that in South Dakota, we have one of the highest rates of our students graduating with debt. So when we talk about issues even like student debt, we know that that is a women's issue too. So I think it behooves us to not push those off into a column of women's issues that sometimes seem as an ancillary add-on thing if we kind of get to it. I think that these are the dominant issues that that we are talking about that people run into every day. So that's always a lens that I have when we're looking at these issues. You know, we know women are half the population. We know that women are half the voters, and I've long felt that when a governing body demographically looks like and represents the people they're supposed to actually represent, I think they're in a better position to make really good decisions. And so I think it's I'm glad we all think it's not robbery to discuss that and to spend time talking about that.
And I would like also to add that, you know, not only are these women's issues, but they're important for the men, too. You know, so we always believe what's good for women are good for men, and it's good for South Dakota. So we hope that as we relay our concerns and the bills that come before us and the issues that are out there that translate to things that are important to women, we want you to know that we believe they're good for all of South Dakota. So we hope that we can continue the course to push for the good issues, to have things come out of this legislature that will have a really strong impact for all of South Dakota. And we're quite proud to represent the Democrat caucus and the issues that are important to us, because we do believe they're important for all of South Dakota. I guess we'll open that up for some questions now, if anyone has any.
Jennifer Jones, South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Do you have any feel for what the discussion of 1182 is going to look like on the Senate floor?
Well, I was really encouraged that we had no opposition in committee. We had, in terms of the questions that came from committee members, we had a lot of them. I asked questions because I do have some concerns about how this translates to renters. I come from a district that's 65% renters, which is a little bit unique for the rest of the state. So I've heard some concerns from people in my district that they're going to be paying the sales tax, but they may not see the benefits or the relief in the tax burden through the property tax. The rent may not go down. That just depends on individual landlords and what they decide to do with that. So there were other questions asked, you know, do we have this in the budget? How do we phase it in? Did we really look at everything? And my understanding from the work that the Blue Ribbon Task Force spent the last year doing is that they were really thorough. And so, you know, I don't think that it's in the budget. You know, Representative Bartling is a former appropriator, and she's spent more time on that than I have. But, you know, I don't think we have it just sitting in the budget. I don't think we have it just hanging out on the couch cushions that we're going to find the kind of money that we need to move us forward. So I'm sure we'll have some more questions about that, as we should.
you know, we should be thorough. That's what people send us here to do. But ultimately, I think the answer is going to have to be a sales tax.
Well, and I'll agree with Senator Buell O'Donnell, serving on appropriations for 10 years. It really becomes quite evident that it is a difficult place to find additional funds. And quite frankly, if all those additional funds had been there, why weren't we doing something prior to this year? I mean, we should have been able to resurrect those dollars somewhere. And quite frankly, if we're going to start piecemealing out funds from different areas of the budget, who are we going to harm when we do that? Community providers, we certainly don't want to affect that, because that's another equally important piece of our budget across the state, is to support those community providers who take care of our disabled, our elderly, those in mental illness issues. So piecemealing is not the way to do it, and it's not sustainable. And that is really the kicker, is we have to have sustainable revenue to continue to support the education of our in our K-12 as well as higher education, but specifically K-12. And without that sustainable revenue, it's not going to be able to happen.
Have you heard of any alternative plans that might be introduced on the floor next week when you're having this discussion in the Senate?
Well, I haven't heard of any alternatives. I think the talk is that they would just perhaps make amendments to the general bill. And once again, you know, that falls into the laps of the appropriators. And as they've done their diligent work this year and in years past, they are, I think they're struggling. The revenues are down, if I'm correct. So when your revenues forecasts are down, it's certainly going to be a struggle, actually, to meet the budget that the governor has proposed. And so I think it'll be difficult.
I think the bottom line here is that we need, as Julie said, we need to find a sustainable, reliable source of revenue that's going to help us maintain our objective, which is to pull ourselves not just out of last in the nation, but to make us competitive with our neighboring states. It doesn't do us any good to pull up to, you know, ahead of Mississippi. We're not losing teachers to Mississippi. We're losing teachers to North Dakota and Iowa and Nebraska and Wyoming and Minnesota. We need to be competitive with those states. And this is the plan that we have discovered is going to be the most sustainable, reliable source of revenue.
I would add as well, I think the conversation in the Senate will continue to be an ongoing one in terms of the specifics of the plan. I know that I still hear a lot of concerns about the ratios and where that landed. And I know that's in the Senate bills that passed out, but you know, those are not a done deal yet. We know that that's going to be an ongoing issue because there are a lot of concerns on how this impacts small schools. And you know, coming from a large school, Sioux Falls comes out pretty far ahead in this, but I would not feel great about going home at the end of the day knowing that Sioux Falls came out ahead at the expense of small schools.
And I represent small schools, so that is a big concern for me. The student-to-teacher ratio is a very big issue in the rural districts, because as at the 12.5 to 1, which is where the small schools would land, small schools will lose if they're going to meet the target salary for teachers over the next few years, they will lose either have to lose positions or not be able to meet them, and that's a big concern. So, because we certainly know the importance of the teacher with those children and at that proper ratio, so that those children are learning adequately.
Are there conversations right now to address that, or since that's already passed, you know, the Senate, that aspect of it, is that kind of a done deal for now, or where, you know, what's going on with that?
Nothing's a done deal until it lands on the governor's desk. So we have room and time for conversation. We have room and time for negotiation, and I'm sure that those will take place as we continue forth.
And I agree. I understand that those conversations will be happening. So we're encouraged by that.
Are there any questions from callers on the line?
Will 1182 pass the Senate?
I hope so. I It's hard to say. As Representative Hawks said, nothing is a done deal, and I know that just as we're having conversations, we know that the other caucus is having those as well, so I think it will be close.
Okay. Well, we're just thank you to South Dakota Public Broadcasting for allowing this today, and for the viewers, and certainly the Democrat doors are always open for conversation. We love to hear from the constituency out there, their concerns, their issues, and certainly proud to be here representing today. So. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.